It's the AmeriChicks with Kim Monson.
Now, while this is all going on, I went through President Trump's speech and Chuck and Nancy's rebuttal.
The most important story.
The American people finally said enough, and that is why they elected Donald Trump.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
It's almost unbelievable that Trump has extricated the U.S. from the Iran nuclear deal.
And opinions and ideas that prepare you to tackle the day ahead.
Because ideas matter.
It's the AmeriChicks, dissecting issues as right versus wrong instead of right versus left. Agree or disagree, let's have a conversation.
Indeed, let's have a conversation because ideas do matter. We see that playing out in Colorado big time right now. Hey, welcome to the AmeriChicks with Kim Monson. Yes, dissecting the issues, news, politics, and opinion as right versus wrong instead of right versus left. Agree or disagree, let's have a conversation. My friends, we have got to be having conversations. We have, out of good manners, acquiesced way too much. We need to understand why we believe what we believe, and we need to be engaging in conversations. So be sure and check out my website, AmeriChicks.com. Sign up for my emails. I'll keep you apprised of all the upcoming guests, topics, and important events. And I am the AmeriChicks on Facebook and Twitter as well, offering you a conservatarian perspective. And in that light, as many of you know, I am partnering with Dr. Tom Kranewitter, Bethany, and his whole team, plus Jen Hewlin, owner of Water's Edge Winery, to bring you Vino and Veritas in Centennial. We will be meeting next week. That's next Monday, March 25th. And we actually do have a few tickets available. So email me at kim@AmeriChicks.com/Kim. So AmeriChicks.com/Kim. Fill out the form, and I'll let you know if we still have those tickets available. The great news is, though, is we are also starting a new Vino and Veritas in Castle Rock that will begin on Sunday, March 31st. So again, go to AmeriChicks.com/Kim and sign up, and we'll get the information to you. My friends, we have to understand why we believe what we believe. For many years, I inherently knew something goofy was going on here in America, but I couldn't quite put my finger on it. And one of the things we have to do is understand these founding principles, particularly here in Colorado, because we are at the tip of the spear on what is going on. And as Colorado goes, they're going to try to take this model and put that throughout the country. So we have to hold the line here. We have to understand what's going on, and we have to fight back on that. So with that, our inspirational quote for today is Abraham Lincoln. He says, "Be sure to put your feet in the right place and then stand firm." And so we, again, need to understand why we believe what we believe, and we need to stand firm. And with that, certainly there are people that step up, and they're supporting what I do here on the radio. As many of you may know, I buy my time for both my World War II project and for this show. And it's a great thing because I have full editorial, can do whatever I want on this, of course, within in reason. But I really appreciate all these sponsors that you hear me talk about. I really appreciate them, you know, partnering with me to bring this forward, as well as our partners for Vino and Veritas Centennial. And so in January, it was Rafe Patton and his group over at Harmony Ridge Construction. In February, Susan Kochevar with 88 Drive-In Theater. And then in March, it is Heidi Gnall with her Free to Be Coalition, promoting free speech and diversity of thought. So if you would like to partner with me on any of this, be sure and email me at AmeriChicks.com/Kim. So with that, Steve, let's jump into some of these headlines here. First of all, this is something that you're probably not going to see much out there in the mainstream media, but President Trump has been donating his presidential salary to a variety of different organizations, whether or not government or it might be a charity. But he just yesterday, he donated $100,000 of his $400,000 salary to Homeland Security. This is a guy who really puts his money where his mouth is. I just think that that's important that people understand that he is doing that, because if any other president was doing that, that would be trumpeted, if you will, across all headlines throughout the mainstream media. But I think that's pretty amazing, producer Steve.
Yeah, I think his previous act in that light was to donate whatever the dollar amount was, 100, maybe even more, 100,000 or more to the national parks ongoing maintenance, and that was during the government shutdown.
Right. And so I think the important thing to understand is he really believes what he's talking about. He wants to support everyday Americans. He wants to keep us safe, you know, supporting the national parks. He's done things for education. I think this is a guy who really cares about everyday hardworking Americans, no matter what the descriptor is, which goes into our next headline. And this is CNN. Bear in mind, this is CNN. And I think this was just yesterday that came out. It says Americans give the nation's economy glowing reviews in a new CNN poll. Donald Trump's approval rating may be reaping the benefits. Overall, 71% of Americans say the nation's economy is in good shape, the highest share to say so since February of 2001. You know, that is, if people are doing well, you know, that goes to the ballot box. That's why we are seeing this fervor to get the national popular vote put into place, which is unconstitutional, which Governor Polis just recently signed. And they're trying to get this compact of enough states plus this District of Columbia to get to 270 electoral votes so that, in essence, the popular vote will go towards those electoral votes. And I don't think that they can't defeat Donald Trump, I think, in, a fair and square election. They're going to do all kinds of things to circumvent that. And I needed to make a point regarding yesterday. I mentioned something about Colorado was registering 16 and 17-year-olds to vote. What they're doing, and you see this actively in high schools. I went up to a high school up north for one of their, it was a fair kind of regarding I guess it was regarding government, and had a booth there. And realizing at the very last minute, I was invited because no conservatives, no conservatarians, no Republicans had been invited to this. It was one of the high schools up north, to one of their, it was kind of like a career fair, except for politics. And so last minute, I went up there, and they actually had somebody there registering 16 and 17-year-olds to vote. You know, these kids have been indoctrinated. They don't know what's going on. But so what happens then, they're registered to vote. When they turn 18, that mail-in ballot automatically is sent to them. And 156,000 16 and 17-year-olds have been registered to vote. And this certainly could make a difference in the 2020 election. Regarding that, Steve.
Yeah, there's no doubt in your mind. I mean, you watch what's going on when they go out man on the street style camera type interviews, and they get these kids who are in that age bracket, and it's all passion. It's no thought processes. It's all passion driven.
Well, and that happens with young people. And the radical progressive activists that have taken over the Democrat Party realize that. And we as conservatives, Republicans, unaffiliated, all that value the American idea, we've had good manners. We're like, okay, we're not going to talk about politics in polite company. They've been talking about it all the time in our schools. They've been indoctrinating our kids. And we have been setting back. And we have got to finally step up, as the quote was here with Lincoln today. We need to stand firmly, figure out where we stand, and then we need to stand there firmly. But on that next, first of all, the economy is going really well. And if the economy continues to go well, if people are feeling good about how they can take care of themselves and their families, that shows up in the ballot box. And you would think that everybody in America would want that for everybody, Steve, but apparently not. When we look at these radical progressive activists, we see the haves and the have-nots. You even see that playing out with this Operation Varsity Blues. You know, many of these top-level celebrities, many people top-level at some of the businesses back in Southern California. I went through the list today. You know, instead of believing that their kids can do well to get into these schools, they end up having to bribe people to try to get their kids into the schools. And so, again, you have these haves and the have-nots instead of people getting in on a meritocracy. So in these fine schools, you've got the people that have a lot of money, and this is not everybody, but people that have had a lot of money that have bribed to get their kids in. And then you see kind of the affirmative action on the other side. So people that, you know, middle class Americans that are going out and trying to do well and to get in on their merit because they've done all the things very well to get them in those schools, they've not had a shot to do that. And that is what happens in a society where you have elites, you have the haves and the have-nots. And what has been so unique about America is a vibrant middle class where everyday people have the freedom to go after the hopes and dreams. And man, you're seeing that slam shut right here in Colorado right now with all this craziness coming out of the Colorado legislature.
Have Steve, we actually, that's the official name of that now, the Varsity Blues?
I thought that's what they called it, Operation Varsity Blues.
Well, a statement of the obvious then. For every kid who gets in that very shadowy environment, there's obviously probably a more deserving young person who did not get in.
Yeah, exactly. And that's not the way it's supposed to be. We're supposed to have competition. So on that last note, because we're going to run out of time here, there's so many different things to talk about. But, you know, Governor Polis is talking about all-day kindergarten. And that would, the number that they have in the budget is about $227 million for all-day kindergarten, if you can believe that. And there is a USA Today report that just came out that said the budget writers are going to carefully consider the long-term sustainability of Governor Polis's proposal to adopt publicly funded full-day kindergarten after they heard that the quarterly economic forecast suggesting a possible slowdown, in economic growth in the next few years. Well, we actually have had a real windfall because of the Trump tax cuts. Colorado is actually going to receive more because of the way that works. Jason McBride with Presidential Wealth Management had explained that to us. But Colorado right now has a windfall coming in because of that. And then, was it last year or the year before with the change that occurred with the hospital provider fee? Again, this was schematics. They called it a fee. It's really a tax, but because they called it a fee, they don't have to show that in the Tabor reporting, which is the Taxpayer Bill of Rights. So Colorado has a whole lot of extra money right now. But Steve, when you see what's going on, first of all, to spend an additional $227 million a year, and you know, that's gonna go up from here. And then what they're doing over here on oil and gas, probably gonna decimate that whole industry in Colorado if we continue that way. And oil and gas has contributed over $600 million each year to K-12 up into higher education. And so I do not understand why you would decimate a vibrant business here in Colorado that contributes so much to our tax revenues, to education, to roads and to bridges. So you're going to decimate that over here. And then you're going to put in all-day kindergarten, which then that takes us to the House Bill 1032, the hypersexualization bill. And we got to let our kids be kids. So all these people that are proposing that kind of stuff, it's like they want to get their hands on our kids earlier and earlier to try to control them. And I say no to this all-day kindergarten. What do you think, Steve?
I think it's really something when there these different efforts, you know, coming from the legislature or this, you know, the Colorado state government level at this point, all in some weird way start canceling each other out. Like you just said, you take away that the dollars that come from the oil and gas industry earmarked for education, you take that away, and then you layer on another all-day kindergarten, which actually costs.
It's an $887 million swing on that. So very quickly, you need to today call Representative Jim Wilson, 303-866-2747, and Senator Bob Rankin, 303-866-5292. They're both Republicans, and tell them not to support this all-day kindergarten. But we need to go to break. When we come back, we'll be talking with Jim Lewis regarding the seven basic needs that he sees in his job as a counselor that every human needs. But Selection Sunday is over. The NCAA basketball tournament teams have been chosen, and KU plays Northeastern Huskies on Thursday. So A Hooters is my game day. They're the place to watch the games. And Wednesday is wing day. There's all kinds of specials there. You can get all the wings you want to eat for $14.99 at Hooters. And you can have Hooters wings delivered right to your front door as well. They have these great new smoked wings. They're delicious. They're only half the calories. And so be sure and order your Hooters to go or have them delivered to your front door or drop by and watch the game at Hooters. More information, visit HootersColorado.com. That's HootersColorado.com. We'll be right back.
All AmeriChicks sponsors are an exclusive partnership with the AmeriChicks and are not affiliated or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the AmeriChicks with Kim Munson and grow your business, contact Kim at AmeriChicks.com. That's AmeriChicks.com.
Award-winning realtor Karen Levine has 30 years of experience with RE/MAX Alliance. Karen Levine believes in home ownership. As a Colorado representative to the National Board of Realtors, Karen Levine works to protect private property rights. Since losing her mother to breast cancer, Karen Levine has helped organize a local fundraising event called Karen's for the Cure, raising money for breast cancer research. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by the AmeriChicks with Kim Munson. Choose Karen Levine to buy or sell your home because she understands that it's more than just a house. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine with RE/MAX Alliance today at 303-877-7516.
Dan Predovich and his team at Predovich & Company help your business plan ahead financially. The AmeriChicks with Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich & Company as your financial business consultant. Predovich & Company will take care of your tax preparation, bookkeeping, and business advisory services. Dan Predovich and his team want to learn about the unique needs of your business through real, honest dialogue. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich & Company can help clients anywhere in the United States. Call 303-791-3000 to start preparing now for tax season. Organize your business finances with Predovich & Company. Call 303-791-3000 today.
Hey, welcome back to the AmeriChicks with Kim Munson, where we are dissecting the issues, news, politics, and opinion as right versus wrong instead of right versus left. Agree or disagree? Let's have a conversation. Be sure and check out my website, AmeriChicks.com, and sign up for my emails. I'll keep you apprised of all the upcoming guests, topics, and important events. I am the AmeriChicks on Facebook and Twitter as well, offering you a conservatarian perspective. I am so excited to have in studio with me today, Jim Lewis. He is a friend. He's a licensed professional counselor with Southwest Counseling Associates. And we go to the same church. And he presented recently at one of our classes. And also we had him on at the end of last year to talk about meaning of life. And you have put something together. This presentation was absolutely amazing. And it's why Jesus still matters, it needs in a secular world. But you talk about some basic needs that you have observed that people have. So let's start. What's your comments on that, Jim?
Okay. So the background of that is we were studying the early church and how Christians were relating to a secular world. And the teacher made the comment that we need to show the world something different. And it was the same way with the first century. What occurred to me is that we almost can't help ourselves from showing the world something different. But the challenge is to show them something different that speaks to them, that they care about. Because it's very easy to disagree with somebody. We've got a lot of disagreement going on in this country, and it's getting more escalated. But we don't seem to be able to present something to the other side that appeals to them. And so my comment was that in showing the world something different, we need to show them how what is different about us meets their own felt needs. And so in thinking about what those felt needs were, I never tried to outline an exhaustive list. So I came up with seven needs. They are not the seven needs, but they're seven needs that I see all the time with my clients in my counseling sessions. And so that's where this list of felt needs came from.
And you have enormous experience. You've been a counselor for a long time. So this is a pretty exhaustive career where you've come up with these seven needs.
Right. So it wasn't something that I did years and years of research. They were just sitting there in the front of my head because, like I say, every day I run into these things.
And as we look at this list, I see that in some ways the kind of the radical progressive activists in some ways are filling some of these needs as well, because these needs will be met either one way or another, I think.
Yeah, I might say they attempt to meet those.
Oh, there you go.
And there's that ongoing promise that if only we had more control, then we would really be able to fulfill those needs.
Which is not true.
Which is not true, but it keeps that belief going that if only, if only, if only.
Okay, well, let's jump in with number one. What is number one on the list of needs that you see every human has?
Well, the first one that came to my mind, it's not necessarily the first in a sequence, but it was freshest on my mind because of my recent sessions, and that is the need to belong to something bigger than ourselves. One of the deepest cries of the human heart is this all there is? Mm-hmm. Am I all there is? What do I matter? And if we're all just a matter of chance and we're stuck off in a corner of the universe, then in a sense, we really don't matter. But there is that longing to belong to something big, something that has a purpose, and something we can feel that we have a vital role in. And so that's why we see, I think that's one of the driving forces behind collectivism, globalism, is I want to be something, part of something huge that has a purpose, that has a future to it. And but that's something we all share as humans, whether we're left or right.
Yeah, I think that's true. And as you were presenting this, I was thinking about this whole climate change, global warming, you know, a lot of young people, like we see Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez say, we only have 12 years left and then the world is going to, or the earth is going to burn up. Yeah. But actually we've seen cooling. So the facts don't really matter there. But you see so many young people that have taken this, and older people as well, that have taken this on as almost like a religion.
Yes.
And because they belong to something.
Yes. A crisis unifies people, gives them a passionate sense of purpose. And so what comes to my mind is that we're all facing a crisis of meaning. But if we can divert it to the climate, if we can divert it to something else, if we create racial tensions or inequality, then you have another purpose that we feel we're strong enough and big enough to solve all together.
Okay. And so I totally agree. And I feel that these movements towards socialism are really grabbing people so that they feel like they are part of something bigger than themselves.
Right.
Let's very quickly, though, talk about, and you know, the positive feeling of something bigger than ourselves. How would you address that?
Well, in talking to our class, I was talking about how Jesus Christ himself appeals to these needs. Well, I don't want to say appeals to them. He fulfills those needs. And so the truth about Christ is that he is the unifying purpose for everything. There is a unified whole to creation, and he's the center of it. He's the cause of it. He's the purpose of it. He's the one that made it happen. And so then we have a vital role in his creation as his representatives. And so our purpose is to bring glory to God through Jesus Christ.
And so that's a purpose.
Absolutely, it's a purpose.
And that certainly is part of something bigger than ourselves.
Oh, my word. I mean, this spans the whole of human history. It spans the dimensions of the universe.
Okay, I have a lot of thoughts going on here, but let's go ahead and let's move to number two. I want to make sure that we get through all of these. So
sure.
What is number two on the basic human needs every human wants?
We need to know that someone is always there for us. I think humans have always known that in their gut, but for the last 40 years, there's been hundreds, thousands of studies in this. In the psychological world, it's called attachment theory. And what we have learned, what we've always known, is that a human, any human, even from before the moment they're born, needs to know that somebody is there, they're attuned to us, so they get a sense of what's inside us. They can even feel somewhat what's inside us. And they are so attuned and so caring for us that they are there to meet those needs. So an infant, before the infant can even talk, watches the mom's face intently and sees, does mom get it when I'm cold? Does mom get it when I'm scared? And we never, ever grow out of that.
Well, and I think that's why Obama was so successful, is he basically said to many people that that government is here for you.
Yes.
That government will take care of you. And so I think it was brilliant in a way, as we're talking about, in a diabolical way, let me put it that way. As we're going through these basic needs of every human.
Oh, you bet.
I'm looking at this, and I'm seeing that the agenda of Obama and the left, I mean, they have the narrative that they say that they are addressing these things. And unfortunately, they really don't care about everyday people. It's more about power. But the messaging that they have given has been effective.
It is powerful messaging. And that's one of the... I don't want to get too far into politics because that's not my area, but that's always been a concern of mine, is our messaging. We're talking about how this idea is more true than that. Absolutely, okay, we don't want to lose our logic, but the message needs to appeal to the human heart.
That you're absolutely, yeah, you're so right on that, yeah. Jim Lewis. You know what? We're going to go to break. When we come back, we've gone through two of the basic human needs that every human has. There's a total of seven. You're going to want to stay tuned. This is Kim Munson with the AmeriChicks, and we will be right back. Jason McBride over at Presidential Wealth Management, you come up with some pretty amazing quotes and nuggets of wisdom. What's your nugget of wisdom for today?
Well, I wish I could claim to have come up with this one, but I didn't. This one came from the Cabot Market Letter, and this is a quote that says, "Buy when you're scared to death and sell when you're tickled to death." And I think that one makes an awful lot of sense, too. It's just another way of saying buy low, sell high. Emotionally, though, we tend to do exactly the opposite. And it's just human nature. When everything's going good, you get excited. Oh, that looks so good. Everybody's talking about it. And we tend to pile in after everything has become good. And it's very hard to buy cheap, because when things are cheap, usually the news is terrible. The world is coming to an end. Emotion comes into it. So I think this is a really good quote. Another one that kind of ties into this that maybe brings home the point too is, I heard this one, everybody wants to be a value investor until the opportunity actually presents itself. So sometimes you just have to do the opposite of what feels right in your gut and do what logically feels right and buy things when they're cheap. It could be a difficult thing. You may not guess the bottom exactly right, but I guess, Kim, we've gone through a lot of fancy ways of buy low, sell high.
That still works for successful investing, that's for sure. So Jason McBride, Presidential Wealth Management, the guys and gals over there can certainly help out. Take another look at what your economy looks like, your nest egg. We have a landing page. It is chickspresidential.com. That's chickspresidential.com. And the phone number is 303-694-1600, 303-694-1600. Jason McBride, thanks so much. Love these nuggets of wisdom. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thank you, Kim.
You want to succeed, so you need to dress for the job, event, or relationship that you seek. For over 30 years, entrepreneur, stylist, and AmeriChick Kim Munson has been helping women look their very best with well-priced, made-to-measure clothes that fit a busy lady's lifestyle. Gals, if you want to up your game and freshen your look, email Kim at AmeriChicks.com for your initial style consult. Kim at AmeriChicks.com.
Social media is important to the AmeriChicks. since it's an avenue we can utilize to hear from and speak to all of our friends. For those of you who enjoy listening to the show, we'd love to hear what's on your radar. Follow us and talk to us at AmeriChicks Twitter and Facebook pages. Also, if you're a business owner who could benefit from some extra foot traffic from like-minded friends, consider advertising on the AmeriChicks radio show. Contact us at AmeriChicks.com or email Kim at AmeriChicks.com.
Welcome back to the AmeriChicks with Kim Munson, dissecting the issues as right versus wrong instead of right versus left. Agree or disagree? Let's have a conversation. Be sure and check out my website, AmeriChicks.com. Sign up for my emails. I'll keep you apprised of everything that's going on. I am the AmeriChicks on Facebook and Twitter as well, offering you a conservatarian perspective. I am so thrilled to be having a conversation with a friend of mine. And we go to the same church, and that is Jim Lewis. He is a licensed professional counselor with Southwest Counseling Associates. And you have put together a really powerful piece here, and that is seven basic human needs of every human. We've talked about the first two. Let's start with number three. What is the third basic need that every human yearns for?
The third need that I listed was the need to make sense of our story. So where have we been? Where are we now? Where are we going? Life tends to fragment our sense of self. So this crisis comes and it becomes our whole world. I'm hurting, and that's all I am, as a hurting person. What does the future look like? More hurt. Sometimes we get trapped in our past, so we can't get over things that we regret, and we ruminate over that. We look into the future and we predict worst case scenarios. And one of the things we must have to break out of those terrible loops is a sense of story. So every storyline has dark places in it, has exhilarating parts of it. If it doesn't have both of those, you wouldn't read the story. And if we know that whatever we're going through is part of a storyline that's compelling, that's going somewhere that we want to go, then we get lost in our lives.
You know, Jim, right, this It kind of touches something that I've been very concerned about, and that is what I see as the high number of suicides that we have in our country today. And I submit to you that it's because we have gotten away from looking at these basic needs and understanding that there is something, somebody, Jesus Christ, that can actually fill these needs. And if you have no hope, then I think that's one of the reasons why that we're having this. But you're the professional. What would be your comment on that?
Oh, absolutely. And one of the things I hear most often is it wouldn't make any difference if I were gone. Or even to the place where a person will say the world would be better without me. What's my story? Well, I'm kind of a loser. I got C's in high school, didn't make the team, never went to college, married somebody, they left me, and here I am all alone, and I drink too much, and I weigh too much, and what's the use? Well, what kind of story is that? I wouldn't want to live in that story either.
But people can change that story.
Absolutely. Well, I would say it this way, that they can see a more accurate picture of their story. Because our story goes all the way back to eternity past, where God knew our name. He formed us in the womb. He had plans to redeem us and to perfect us and bring us to glory in Christ's likeness. That's a heck of a story. That's the macro view. The micro view is that God is at work in our lives to bring us through our hardships, and we come out the other side transformed. And so when we understand our own individual story as a process that has those dark places that actually form us, then we don't have to end our lives because it's going nowhere.
Well, those are they're very important words, and I don't think that our kids are hearing that. We're seeing kids like the Covington, well, you didn't really want to go to politics, so I'll just make a comment. Those Covington kids that were at the March for Life.
Yes.
When this Native American came up and was beating a drum in their face, the media actually put out an untrue narrative on that. But my point is the messages that we have been sending to our kids. So there was a teacher down in Douglas County that actually I would say, cyber bullied the wrong kid, but a kid from Covington High School. And I'm thinking about this teacher is in the classroom with these young Caucasian boys that she clearly doesn't like. And what message is she sending to them in their formative years? And we need to make sure that we understand, that kids understand, every one of them, they are unique and they are valued. And they are valued. Yeah. And how they know that is the creator of everything actually sent his son, Christ, to die a very difficult death, to overcome death, because he values every person out there. And I find that is just so exciting.
Yes. I mean, isn't redemption a much, much more powerful storyline than victimhood?
Well, for sure. And all of us have done things that we need to be redeemed.
Yes.
For all of us. Nobody is perfect.
Right.
And the story of Christ is that he values us so much. And it's not just a story, it's a reality. Mm-hmm. But let's go ahead. I want to make sure we get through all seven of these.
Okay.
What is number four on this list of human needs?
We need to feel worthy. See, we're all born with a sense of right and wrong, whether we deny that or not. And there is a nagging sense that I'm not what I ought to be. I'm not even my true self. And there is a desperate need to feel worthy. I belong to be here. We see a lot of claims to that. So you see people marching, proclaiming their pride, but there's something shrill about it. It doesn't really sound like it comes from someplace deep, and it doesn't lead to a sense of peace. It leads to agitation. So pride is no substitute for a sense of worthiness. So we carry a sense of shame around in us that we try to deliver ourselves from. So one of the reasons the left tries to eliminate any kind of sense of morality, except for the morality that they create, is because we're trying to shut down the shame. So if we eliminate the standard, then we don't have to feel shame. It just doesn't go away. And so, well, go ahead.
Well, I think, as you mentioned, each of us, every human being, has this tussle with, because there are times that we just don't measure up. We do things that we wish that we didn't do. And this is so interesting regarding taking away the shame. And if we're not honest with ourselves about this, then we get ourselves in a really difficult situation, I think, in the heart and in the soul.
Right. So many of the desperate problems that I deal with clients is their attempts to make themselves right. But then you get into that never good enough trap, and oh my word, the pain that trap causes.
Mm-hmm.
You're the hamster on the wheel. But it isn't just that you can't get off. You're scared to death. You're going to be found out to be the worthless person that you think you are. And so shame underlies much of the political strife we have and much of the individual mental health problems that we have.
Do you think that we have more mental health problems in America today, say, versus 100 years ago? Or I know that human nature is constant. It's the same. But to me, it seems like we have more.
Yeah, I wouldn't have anything to compare that to, because, say, 100 years ago, they didn't really have even categories to understand what mental health was. It was demon possession, or there was some kind of brain damage that you've experienced, and they just ignored it, and people just fell into the shadows of society. But again, I have to, just in my short span of being a counselor for 20-something years, I've seen a different kind of mental health problem, to where there are no reference marks. There's no way to know where I need to be from where I am now. I just don't know what to do with myself, but I'm miserable.
Well, I think, Jim, that's really an excellent segue into number five on your list of basic human needs of every person.
That's a good insight. That really does lead to number five. Number five is we need to see how to live. It's easy to come up with a set of rules, and we all do it, left or right, center, agnostic. We come up with some set of guidelines for ourselves. But when people are just trying to follow rules because they should, they end up with this terrible internal battle. I know I should, but. And what happens after the but is really what moves people, what really hurts them. And what Jesus presented with us is all of our ideals, all of God's ideals in a living person. And there was something compelling about Jesus. And who knows how to itemize it? The look on his face, the sound of his voice. So Mary thinks Jesus is a gardener after he rises from the dead. And how does she get her eyes open to see that it's Jesus? It's his voice. He just says, Mary. Well, backing up in that story, when the soldiers come to arrest Jesus, and they ask him, are you Jesus? All he does is answer their question, and the soldiers drop to the ground. How is it that Jesus went around saying to a person, I want you to quit your job right now with no 2-week warning, and I want you to follow me, and they drop their fishing nets and follow him? How does he do that? There is something compelling about that man himself. And that's what Jesus tells us today, that I want you to be like me. I want you to follow me. And he is such a beautiful, compelling, elegant person that there's something in our heart that says, yeah, I'll follow you.
But sometimes we as humans, like I think Peter or Paul said, sometimes I know what I want to do, but I do the opposite thing.
Yeah.
How do we match that up? That happens to every human being.
And that's what happens when we revert back to the rule system, because when Paul said that, he was thinking about the law. And he says, that's a very good law. It comes from God. And my spirit wants to do that. But I can't, because there's a part of me that doesn't want to be told what to do. But he goes on into the next chapter and he says, however, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ, who are called according to his purpose. And then he goes on to say, my destiny that God laid out for me is to become like Christ. Oh, now it's a different game.
Totally different game.
Now,
I have a thought that I want to share with you
after
we come back from break. This is Kim Munson with the AmeriChicks. I'm talking with Jim Lewis, and he is a licensed professional counselor. He is with Southwest Counseling Associates, and he's put together this very important list of seven human needs that each one of us needs to have fulfilled. So this is Kim Munson with the AmeriChicks. We'll be right back.
Work with mortgage professionals who will give you quick and accurate financial advice. Home Mortgage Alliance has the knowledge and expertise to explore the many financial options available to you. The mortgage process can be stressful, and as interest rates rise, it's more important than ever to get pre-qualified now so you're ready to buy. Call Kim Sturtz and Mark Cook with Home Mortgage Alliance to make sure that you're making the right financial choice for you and your family. 303-888-2732. Kim and Mark will remain available to you 24/7 to help you through the process. Choose the only mortgage professionals recommended by the AmeriChicks with Kim Munson. Call Kim and Mark with Home Mortgage Alliance today. 303-888-2732.
Welcome back to the AmeriChicks with Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website, AmeriChicks.com. We are dissecting issues as right versus wrong instead of right versus left. Agree or disagree, let's have a conversation. This is a very important conversation with Jim Lewis. He is a licensed professional counselor at Southwest Counseling Associates. We are members of the same church, and you are a really important thinker, and I really appreciate you being in studio to do this. You have compiled a list from your vast experience of seven basic needs that every human, you know, needs to have fulfilled. Mm-hmm. And you said this is not a complete list, but
right.
In your experience, that this is seven needs that are so important to individuals.
Right.
But I've been thinking a lot about we were going to have this conversation. And I'm a Christian, and I still am learning. One of our good friends that recently passed on, Ron Wall, who had really started this class, then started me on this journey of thinking, is, you know, what do we do as Christians? What is it that we're supposed to do? And there's been a lot of people say we serve Christ.
Right.
And I get that, but you can get all caught up in the serving part. And I realized that I think what we're really supposed to do is to love Christ.
Yes.
And if we love him, if you love, you know, your kid, you know, loving out of that is just automatically there's serving and all kinds of things that happen with that. That was kind of a big aha for me, Jim.
Oh, yeah, that's very important. And that's what we were saying in that last section about we need to see how to live, because when Jesus captures our hearts like that, we love him in the sense not that we're fond of him, but he's the center of everything. It's that adoration of him, that desire to be like him, that motivates everything. So we can't hold our service back if we really love him.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So let's make sure that we get through these last two of basic human needs that you have observed in your vast experience as a counselor. What's number six?
All right. We need to know what's wrong with our world and what to do about it. I think we all know something's wrong with our world. As anybody else would say, check out the news. There is unspeakable suffering going on all over the world. And then there are the stories that never show up, but they're equally compelling. And so there's something wrong. And throughout human history, we've been trying to fix it. But we don't really seem to fix it. And what Jesus brings to us is the insight that I think we all really know if we're honest. The problem is inside us. It's not who is ruling our country. It's not how we've been treated. It's not our history of victimization and exploitation. The problem ultimately is inside us. All those other things are real serious problems. I don't mean to dismiss those. But at the core of what's wrong with the world is us. And so Jesus brings us the promise of delivery from what's wrong with us. So he makes us into a new person when we place our faith in him. We're not all born believing in Jesus, and we're not all born with the new nature he promises us. But when we place our trust in him, he makes us a new creation. 2 Peter chapter 1 tells us that we actually are given God's own nature. We don't become gods, but there's something God-like in our very core of being. And that's ultimately the answer to what's wrong with the world.
Interesting. This triggers, you triggered me. Wow. This triggered a thought. And that is, actually, I was a young person that told me this regarding, the verse that we are made in the image of God. And so I think as a little kid, I've always thought about, you know, my physical, you know, two arms, two legs, you know, that. But this young person said to me that perhaps what it means is also that we are creators. God created the universe, and we are creators,
right,
and innovators, and positive. And I thought that was so interesting. And then, of course, I immediately take it to the whole American idea. And
yes,
it's an idea of creativity and innovation and people having freedom so that they can go after their hopes and dreams. And I thought that is a great correlation of in the image of God.
Absolutely it is. And those were the principles that America was founded on. The belief that mankind is special, created in God's image, and a very clear purpose of extending his creative work in this world. Absolutely. And I'll get political for a second. That's why, humanly speaking, the United States is the greatest nation that this world has ever seen.
Well, it's not perfect,
but it
is the best social contract that people have had with their government, where every day people Hardworking people can thrive and prosper and have upward mobility.
Right.
It's the best thing out there, and we need to make sure that we protect it. So, Jim Lewis, we are to number 7 on your list of basic needs that every human needs to have fulfilled.
So the last one, in a way, summarizes all the rest of them, and that is that we need deliverance from ourselves. It's the battles that inside that shake us up the most. So we all have urges that we fight to try to stop, whether it's overeating, gambling, pornography, but we're all fighting something that comes from inside us. And many times our efforts to defeat those urges actually feed those urges because, say, I work with quite a few guys that are dealing with pornography. And there's a cycle they all go through. And the last part of the cycle is despair. I can't believe I did it again. I am such a worthless creature. How could I descend that low? But then that feeds the cycle all over again. Because then the urges are, I need to feel better any way I can. There's no way to redeem me. There's nothing I can do to become anything but a sleazy creature, but I can at least feel better. And the cycle goes round and round and round.
Can people be cured of all this stuff?
Well, here's the thing. Cure can mean I have something better and I can consistently choose something better. Once you form an addiction, your brain is changed anatomically, neurologically, so that you will always have to be on guard with that addiction. And yet, cure can mean I've found something better and I can consistently choose it. Absolutely.
That is very interesting. I can consistently make better choices.
Yes.
Aha. So, Jim Lewis, we're about out of time. Would you like to give us a kind of a synopsis of all of this then?
Well, I think I just come back to the fact that we need to condition ourselves. Whatever else we're doing in our relationships with people, we need to condition ourselves to read through all the exterior and understand people's needs. I understand the need for debate politically and even outright bare-knuckled fight. I do not mean that physically, but an example of a bare-knuckle fight figuratively would be the latest cis debate, and it was absolutely miraculous that we were able to stop that. So there is a time to fight. And yet underneath all of that is a fact that we need to treat our fellow human beings wherever they are on the political spectrum, wherever they are on the religious spectrum, with a sense of compassion for the needs they're trying to meet. Because that's exactly what Jesus did.
Okay, I have just a quick question, though. And I'd had a friend of mine, Casper Stockham, on, and he was talking about that we are to love everyone. And that is the commandment, that we are to love.
Yes.
But what if somebody is, you know, like I get really frustrated with the elitists that I think are trying to take away everyday hardworking people's opportunity and freedom. And I get really irritated with them. How would you respond to me as I'm trying to match that up?
First of all, I would agree with you.
Ah, okay.
frustrated is a mild word for some of the things I feel. But here's something that isn't automatically obvious, and that is we can feel two things at once. We can be very, very angry at somebody. We can be disgusted with somebody, and I am regularly with some of the things I see in the political arena, and at the same time have a deeper sense of sadness for how lost they are.
Interesting. So compassion and sadness, that would mean that you care and that you love about them, compassion and love.
Yes.
Okay, that's very, very good advice. So this has been just pretty amazing. So very quickly, let's just go through, Jim, if you would name the 7 needs that that we talked about.
Okay. So we need to belong to something bigger than ourselves. We need to know someone is always there for us. We need to make sense of our story, past, present, and future. We need to feel worthy. We need to see how to live. We need to know what's wrong with our world and what to do about it. And finally, we need deliverance from ourselves.
Well, Jim Lewis, thank you so much. Now, you are a licensed professional counselor. If anybody is out there, are you still taking new patients or new clients?
Yes.
Okay. How can people reach you?
The phone number for SCA is 303-730-1717. My voicemail is 224. If you call voicemail 220, you will get our intake coordinator, and he can listen to what you're looking for. And we have a staff of 25 therapists, so he can also help you find the therapist whose specialties best line up with your needs.
Okay, and that is Southwest Counseling Associates, Jim Lewis. And again, what is that phone number?
303-730-1717.
Jim Lewis, thank you.
My pleasure.
Okay, and our quote for today is Rafi Zacharias. He had four needs. He said, when you think of it, really there are four fundamental questions of life. And you've asked them. I've asked them. Every thinking person asks them. They boil down to this: origin, meaning, morality, and destiny. How did I come into being? What brings life meaning? How do I know right from wrong? And where am I headed after I die? So you really kind of, I think, took those four and expounded upon that.
Yeah, you betcha.
So thanks so much. So this is Kim Munson. Today, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America. And I